everyone, before we begin today's show, I wanted to remind you to visit mybookie.ag for all of your sports bet. Their easy-to-use mobile website allows you to use it on the go. Go head over to mybookie.ag, use our promo code HEADS for a 100% deposit cash bonus. Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Back and excited to be hitting into week three of the NFL season. And we have another jam-packed episode with the DK Legends talking DFS, breaking down the games, breaking down their DFS players. Seth, we have a loaded show today, don't we?
Yep, a lot to get to.
Yep, so let's not waste too much time, Seth. Let's kind of head right into this. But any kind of initial thoughts in terms of heading into week three, fantasy-wise, NFL-wise, anything like that?
I think a really high-scoring week, several games that we're going to talk about with the DK Legends. Some that we might agree on, some that I think we're going to disagree on. But I think overall, high-scoring week. The other thing is injuries and knowing how to handle a lot of these injuries. But overall, I think this is going to be probably the best week yet of the season.
Best week of the season. Well, let's hope with a lot of the practices and more time that these teams are actually, you know, playing together, the offensive lines are actually putting on the pads and playing, that we do have a little bit more scoring and just a little bit cleaner, tighter, maybe more competitive games. That would be nice. And to your point, Seth, there has been a lot of injuries, but let's not overreact in terms of the fantasy realm here. You know, there's a long season ahead of us, so make sure that you keep listening, make sure you keep preparing. Drop the players at the bottom of your roster that just aren't producing. Replace them on the waivers. Be aggressive in trades. Talk to your other league mates. Keep working it, keep grinding it, and then hopefully at the end of the year, we can all get to our goal of a championship. And as we mentioned, we have a full episode, so we're going to kind of jump right into the DK Legends, Seth. But let's first go ahead and thank our sponsors.
Yep, want to thank Draft the App. Jeff, we do this all the time, every single week. If you like playing in real-life snake drafts and you love daily fantasy and you want to earn some money and play your buddies, there is no better place to go than Draft the App. You can do it every single Sunday. Jeff, we do a head-to-head every single Sunday. We also do it with a couple of our buddies, and it's a good time. It allows you to take part in drafts every single week of the season. Nothing is better than that. Go and download Draft the App and play today.
Yeah, I remember, Seth, we always have one of those. You sit around with your buddies and you think of this really cool idea that would be cool if you kind of came up with and you created. And we're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to draft every single weekend? You know, we wouldn't have to fight over the same player. We wouldn't have to have all the same players because it's a great matchup. And sure enough, we discovered Draft the App. So, we're a little late to the party. These people made it, created it. The platform is easy to use. Head to your favorite app store. Search for Play Draft the App. Use our promo code TALKINGHEADS and get free entry into a money cash game lineup with your first deposit into Draft the App. Seth, we also want to thank mybookie.ag. They've been a great sponsor for us this year. We have now transitioned and placed all of our bets on here. Seth, always annoying me every single weekend with your three-game parlays. How are you doing on those so far this year?
Not good.
Big surprise. But we're having fun, right? And that's the idea. Yep. Here. You're not losing your house, thank God, or at least last time I checked. But a lot of kind of interesting games coming up here. We're heading into week three of the NFL season. We're getting a little bit better idea of what these teams are, and so that allows us to maybe have more of an educated guess in terms of where we do want to place our bets. So be smart, but also head to where the fastest payout in the industry is, and that is mybookie.ag. They pay out lightning fast in 2 days. If you use our promo code HEADS, H-E-A-D-S, you get a 100% cash bonus into your from your deposit. So head over to mybookie.ag. You'll love it. And now let's bring in the guys from DK Legends. Now back for week three of our NFL Talking Heads DFS segment. We welcome back DK Legends, Danny Moreno and Ben Stuck of DK Legends. You can find them online at dklegends.com, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else at the DK Legends. Guys, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you once again helping out our listeners win at Daily Fantasy Football.
Appreciate it. We're glad to be back.
Now, let's go ahead and cut to the chase. We all know what we're here for. We're here to talk about our four-man competition. And Ben took down week one, and I'm happy to say I was able to put a notch on our side. Probably the closest we're going to get to winning anything against the pros, Seth, but I was able to come down first place in our four-man competition with a healthy 151 points. Ben, I took the crown away from you. Any words of disappointment?
No, not disappointment at all. I'm happy to give it to you. You guys mopped the floor with us. You know, don't forget your partner there that came in second, you know, a little bit of ways away, but you know, he got us too. So all the credit's due to you guys. You know, the only thing I can say is you grabbed a bunch of our players. So I can, if there's any excuse out there, I'm taking that
Don't you feel like a schmuck now, Jeff? All arrogant, and then he has the humblest response, giving you props.
No, I didn't. I'll never feel like a schmuck. Okay, I went ahead. I went face to face with the pros, and I came out on top, Seth. And you know what, Ben? I don't want to give any second place credit for Seth. He's in second place. We don't play for second place around here.
So. You're right. I like it.
I will say, though, Jordy going out with an injury, no one could account for that. If Jordy would have played, he would have got at least 19 points, which would have been enough to give me the victory. But I'll let you have it. It clearly means a lot more to you than it does to me.
Yeah, I can only imagine what kind of speech we would be getting if Seth actually won the thing. I'd have to cut down the entire episode for it.
That's probably accurate. You know, I'll tell you a real quick story, guys, about Green Bay and Green Bay Packers wideouts. And Danny knows this very well. As you know, as soon as Jordy went down, I think the second play of the game, we kind of chuckled to ourselves. Back in the World Championship, Danny and I were in. You know, there was only 10 of us there, and you know, they made three of us millionaires, or well over a million. So first place was 5 million, and it went down from there, and only 10 of us in the competition. And I had Mr. Rogers and Cobb and Adams in that game. That was the year Jordy Nelson was out, and they both got injured in that game, and I took double goose eggs in the biggest contest of my life. So even to this day, I think, man, I've probably built out, I can't even fathom, probably over 3,000 lineups since then, and I've never even taken two goose eggs ever. You know, it's usually even if it's one goose egg, it's maybe happened once in that entire span too. But two goose eggs and the biggest one ever. So when Jordy went down, I kind of it hit home. It hurt a little bit. So I know what that feeling is like for sure.
You like that, Seth? How he just had to throw in how he was in the World Championships. Can I just get my own entire episode of the victory of the four-man competition over here?
Dude, no one cares about you winning the four-man competition. Him winning winning millions of dollars is much more exciting to listen to than you winning our four-man contest.
Again, I want to win that just as much as winning a million, trust me, and I fell way short. It was bad, and I'm going to take it on the head. That was my bad, and good win to you.
Yeah, well, of course, now we're playing with you guys, and this is the reason why we have you on here is we did use your players, and of course we have you here to to help out our listeners. And we've been hearing on it on Twitter and everywhere else of how many people have been able to actually win a few shekels here and there. So we're happy to hear that. And hopefully everyone is going to check out the website, dklegends.com. Use our promo code NFL Talking Heads for 15% off of their subscription, because trust me, you guys are going to want to continue to get those fire players and continue winning money for the rest of the season. But let's jump into the DFS week three slate here. But first, though, I do want to get your feedback on week two as a whole. What what was maybe a surprise, not a surprise, anything else like that? Let's start off with you, Danny, first. Week two, what were your thoughts?
Week two was couldn't have started out any better than we planned. The lineup that we gave out for FanDuel, I was texting with Ben and talking to him on the phone and talking to a couple other DFS pros. And I said, hey, guys, I said, we got a lineup that is solid, that could place, literally has an opportunity to place top 10 in every single contest it's in. And Allen was going off. He had a good game for his value. He was very low owned, and it just the stars were aligning, if you will. And I said, we have four players going. I said, that lineup's going to cash unless something weird happens. And then Gronk gets hurt about the time I start saying it. I go, well, hey guys, I'm not going to say anything. I think I'm jinxing this thing. And because Gronk had 26 points at the end of the third quarter for DraftKings, for FanDuel, I think he had like 23-ish, something like that. But then he goes out and he doesn't play any of the fourth quarter, which he would have, I'm thinking he probably would have got at least three or four more points. And then Jordy goes out to second or third play of the game and changed that whole game complexity. Once he was out, I feel that the game plan changed significantly. They went more to the run than they would have originally with the pass. I mean, as they started out that game, it was just pass, pass, pass. And then Green Bay got the ball. He got hurt, and it was just seemed like it would turn into a running contest. But other than that, I felt it went really good. I apologize that lineup didn't cash. Gosh, I thought it was on target and was ready to bring home the big one. But that's DFS for you. And that's one reason why we like it is, we forget about it. We got an even better lineup this week. So looking forward to this week and sharing our FanDuel lineup and all our other thoughts with you guys.
That's right. Short-term memory. I think you did a good job explaining it because it was – I can't believe that Allen call, DeVorce Allen. I was telling Seth about that. I'm like, I don't know how they came up with that one, but that was a great call. And obviously, the Jordy Nelson alone would have been good enough to cash, and you can't plan on those. Ben, what was your thoughts on week two as a whole?
Well, it was good. Yeah, as Danny stated, we did pretty well again. Most of the picks, not to pat ourselves on the back, but with all the guys that we again faded, did not do very well. And then the guys we put up on the board were consistent. Obviously, with the Nelson thing, that's the one thing you can't account for is injuries in DFS, and it's an unfortunate thing, as a story very well told in the beginning. yeah, that's the one thing you can't account for. Did pretty well. It wasn't, at the top like we wanted. Obviously, we wanted to cash that lineup. A couple bright spots that I've actually thrown on my board for this week as well that we're going to get into. But, the one thing that and really kind of got me was that Packers-Atlanta game. It started off exactly how we wanted it. They were throwing like crazy, scoring like crazy. And especially Julio, he found open space everywhere. And then just kind of slowed down. And it was really, kind of odd. And I know we talked last week about Ty Montgomery and if you play him or you fade him. And well, we broke it down and actually kind of, I feel like it happened exactly how we said it and why you couldn't. But, man, it was just kind of a crazy game. I thought it was going to be a little high scoring and the Packers would run it back at them, but they just couldn't keep up. And then, man, talk about the funniest stack ever. And as everyone laughed at me and, that Blake Bortles stack, was an interesting one. And if it wasn't for them being down tremendously, it was one of the worst calls in history, I thought. And then all of a sudden, I think he must have had, I thought I looked at it and he had like 37 yards passing at the half or something just atrocious. He kind of turned it into a pretty decent deal in the fourth quarter with Hearns and Lee, and it ended up pretty well. I cashed in several contests with that. So it was an interesting one. The craziest one for me is after the podcast last week, I went and looked and was really studying the lineups in that stack, and I've never seen this before. I'm sure it's happened, but maybe I just wasn't attuned to it. But Blake Bortles was actually – his salary was lower than several backup quarterbacks. And that was just I couldn't believe that. I've never seen that before, or maybe I just can't remember it, and I can't believe DraftKings even does that. But that's the faith that I guess the NFL community and DraftKings especially has in Blake Bortles. But it actually turned out to be pretty good. If his number's at that salary, you look at that, and it's, you know, three or four times what a top salary guy would do with their points. So, long take on this week two, but ready for week three.
Hey, so, Ben, just if I may add something real quick that we didn't touch on, how'd you guys like that Crab call? Now, I sure wish we had Crab in the lineup instead of Nelson. I'll just go ahead and throw that up there.
Oh, you and me both. Crab. You and me both, brother.
We all love Crab. Man, he's good.
I know. Me and Jeff, I mean, anyone who's listened to the show over the past 3 months leading up to drafts has known that, you know, knows that me and Jeff are pretty high on Crabtree. We talk about him pretty much, or have been talking about him pretty much every episode over the off season. How much we love him, how much we don't like Amari Cooper, and another big game for Michael Crabtree.
I think it was before we even started these podcasts. You guys had those player matchups, and I was listening to your pod when you did that, and I think you had, correct me if I'm wrong, Crabtree against Adams. And I was so appalled, I tweeted at you guys and said, you're crazy. Crab is going to have a way better year, and even more so, Adams is going to have a down year. It's interesting how it's played out. Again, it's only 2 weeks.
Really, it was either. I remember that, Ben, on Twitter. It was an either or. Yep. Who do you take in this, in this scenario? Yeah. We also do something, well, not to get too off tangent here, but we also did something called same player, different round, where we compare someone going in a later round versus someone going in an earlier round. And it kind of all started off of how we used to always compare Amari Cooper versus Michael Crabtree being 2, 3, 4 rounds apart. So yeah, that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Crabtree. And I think I said this once over the summer, and this is the last thing I'll say about Crabtree. Then we'll move on. Cause you know me, I could talk all night about Michael Crabtree, but I said, Michael Crabtree is my favorite player in all fantasy this season. Cause he's had two big years since being in Oakland, and you know, it's only been two games this season, but this is coming off two really big seasons back to back, with Derek Carr. So, Crabtree is matchup proof. Can't go wrong with Crabs. But now on to week three. So we got two games coming up. We have one on Thursday, then one Sunday morning. Cleveland, Indy, we have Los Angeles, San Francisco on Thursday, and then Baltimore, Jacksonville at 9:30 in London. What are your thoughts on these two games? Are we fading both these games, players in these games?
I'm playing Hyde on the Thursday contest. So the Thursday through Monday contest, I'm putting him in there. He's cheap, and I think he's going to have a good game. He looked good on Sunday, and I'm going to play him. Other than that, going to fade Gurley and the Jacksonville Baltimore game. I am utilizing Baltimore's defense in one of my Thursday lineups, but other than that, those are the only two players that I'm going with in those games.
Ben, what about you? What are your thoughts on these two games, the first two games coming up?
Yeah. For the most part, same for me. You know, it's kind of funny because you guys know how much I love Cooper Kupp and Gurley. I absolutely love Gurley this year. For me, that game didn't stack up, and especially being on Thursday night. You know, you need guys that are going to be the one or two highest scoring of the weekends. And I don't see it in that game at all. I don't like it, and I'm definitely staying away.
Okay, sounds good. We're gonna try to get to as many games as possible. We're not gonna be able to hit on all these, so we'll try and weed out the ones that aren't as relevant. And then if we don't cover a certain game that you have players in that game. I'll ask you if there's anybody I left out or we missed. But let's talk about what projects to be the highest scoring game of the weekend. Oakland, Washington, and not a lot of defense is going to be played in this game. The Sunday primetime matchup. Let's start with you, Danny. What are some players that you're looking at in this matchup, if any, that you want to have in some lineups?
Well, I'll defer to Ben on this one. He likes several players within this matchup. I almost had one player in our FanDuel lineup within this contest, but I chose to take him out to upgrade to a stronger running back, and we can get into that more. But, you know, obviously Crabtree's tough to stay away from in here, and, you know, there's some other players too. But, Ben, I'll just turn it over to you since you like this game. You've got a lot of different players in it.
Yeah, I do actually like this game, you know, for a number of reasons. Obviously, I'll start on the Oakland side. My first of two stacks this week, this one's Carr, Crabtree, and Cooper. Even though Cooper's kind of, you know, dropping some balls here and there and not playing up to his potential, Crabtree's picked him up. I think this game is extremely high scoring, and I don't think it's on the ground. I think it's through the air. And obviously, I love that side. And Oakland is, man, they are a great, great football team. I think they're, you know, possibly number three, maybe number two in the AFC. They're a fantastic football team. And also notice that, you know, the first 2 weeks, they're not using Lynch as I thought they would. I thought, you know, especially when they're up in games, that they'd kind of run it with him and keep him in. But that's obviously not the choice for the Raiders right now. So I think this is an air attack for the Raiders, especially the Raiders side. So, and then on the Redskins side of things, they tend to have some magic on primetime over the years, and I don't know why or where it's coming from, because Mr. Cousins there, he hasn't come out like I thought he would with that, you know, high-powered offense these first 2 weeks. So I think he's going to be ready to show it. Oakland's defense isn't all that great. So I think the over-under, man, Vegas might have that a little bit high, but it could be a shootout. I see it very high scoring, but 54, that's pretty high for these two teams. And especially when Cousins hasn't really connected with his wide receiving core yet. And it's to be seen still. So this is one of those games on the offense. I have, you know, a couple guys down, and it's probably going to be a game time decision who's going to end up in, you know, not all of my lineups, but quite a lot of them. I've got Pryor and Crowder, not Cousins, just the wideouts there. And I'm leaning a little bit more towards the Crowder side, but again, this will probably be a game time decision on which side I go, because I don't really want to play both of them. So, but yeah, I love the game. I think it's going to be high scoring, and the Raiders, I think, will come out with it as well.
The Raiders, I mean, to talk about it, if you're for season long, if anybody owns Marshawn Lynch, or even in daily, if someone started Marshawn Lynch, they got to be pretty frustrated with Jalen Richard getting a rushing touchdown and then Cordarrelle Patterson getting a rushing touchdown. It seems like Oakland's going to hand the ball to 20 different people for rushing touchdowns. So pretty frustrating if you're a Marshawn Lynch fan.
I saw, yeah, the same thing. I had that exact same thought when I saw Cordell run for that. I said, oh, man. But, you know, Lynch, I don't think he's that big of a piece of that offense. Is he going to get his carries? Absolutely. And he's going to be good. But and especially, you know, inside the 10 or inside the 5-yard line, it's going to him every time, or a fade to one of the high guys. But, yeah, you're right. Frustration at an all-time high if you have Lynch. That's why I kind of stayed clear to from him in my season long, so that's for sure.
Now let's move on to another game, which should be, I mean, Vegas has it at 44.5 for the over-under. This game has the potential to be a little, I think that's probably on the low end. Cincinnati at Green Bay. Now, Green Bay, Jordy Nelson's banged up. He's at 50-50, you know, shot to play on Sunday. Cincinnati, obviously, Tyler Eifert's banged up. They just switched offensive coordinators. We don't really know what to expect. To say that they've struggled so far this season is an understatement. Zero touchdowns through two games. How do you see that game playing out, and what are some players that you're looking at in that matchup to come up big? Ben, let's start with you and then go to Danny.
Yeah, thanks. This game, you know, looking at the over-under and the line specifically, again, I think Vegas is off on this one. I know Atlanta kind of made the Packers look a little foolish, but I don't think they have it all together yet. And like you said, with Jordy being question mark and whatever's going on in that offense, and yeah, the Bengals are just, they're so, so bad. But here's the thing about NFL teams, and especially when their back's up against the wall and their coaches and is in the hot seat and 0-2 is looking in their face, they tend to respond, you know, unless they're just, you know, one of those, the poorest teams ever, and you just think they're not going to come out of it. But the Bengals, they still got some talent. They just haven't really put it together yet. I don't like this game at all. I think it's going to be low scoring game, kind of a gross 17-13 kind of output. And that line for Green Bay at 9 is way too high, I think. So I don't like anyone. I know Danny, I think, likes one or two guys, so he could talk on it. But I'm staying clear of this game.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I agree with Ben. You know, after looking at this, you know, what I'm seeing is, you know, -9 for Green Bay, and then 45.5, 44, or 40, 45, something like that. And, you know, you got talent on Cincinnati side with Green, and you got the rookie running back, things like that. Green Bay has a terrible defense. And so what's going to happen? Is it going to be low scoring? Is it going to be high scoring? I don't know. So what that tells me is, when I don't know, I stay away from it. So I'm staying away from the Cincinnati side. However, on the Green Bay side, with Nelson and Cobb potentially being out, both of them, Allison is somebody that I'm looking at to play. He's very cheap. I think he's 3,000 in DraftKings and 4,600-ish in FanDuel. I think he gets another week to prepare with the first team offense. It could potentially be him and Adams out there. And I think he could be a potential sleeper pick for daily fantasy. So I am looking at him, and that's the only person that I'm looking at. And let me clarify, if Nelson and Cobb play, Allison is a sit. If Nelson is out and Cobb is in, I'm still going to play him. But if Nelson plays and Cobb doesn't, I'm not going to play him. So if Nelson plays, Allison is a sit.
Here's my question, though. So my favorite, probably my favorite player this week in all of daily is Davante Adams. He's 5,600 in DraftKings, only 100 more than Sammy Watkins. And this is coming off the 10 targets, 8 catches, 99 yards, a touchdown. If Jordy can't play, or even if Jordy can play, but especially if Jordy doesn't play and there's any, and if Cobb doesn't play, Davante Adams has to be one of the best plays this weekend, right? I mean, where am I? What am I missing with Davante Adams? Why is he so low? That seems ridiculously low to me, 5,600.
Well, one thing you have to remember is they come out with the salaries as the games are going on Sunday. So they don't account. That's why you usually get a 1 week window as far as injuries and things like that, to capitalize on those value bargains, if you will, within it. And so if they stay out for, say, not this week, week three, but week four, then you'll see both Adams and Allison and Bennett and everybody else go up, including Montgomery. But since it happened on Sunday night and the salaries were virtually already out, or they're in the process of making them, you don't see that you don't see that displayed within the week three salaries.
Yeah, that salary for Adams, you make a good point. It is low. It's solely based on his week one production from that game. So, and he obviously wasn't all that great. So that's why it is. But again, for me on that side, I still don't see it. Like Danny said, also a lot of unknowns, and I just don't really care for that game. But that's in DFS. In season long, I mean, I would say he is a play. In DFS, he's not going to be in my lineups.
All right, so I might be using him in our four-way competition. So you guys stay away from him. All right, let me have him.
No problem.
we'll reconvene next week, and we'll talk about how that went down.
Sure, that can't backfire on you, Seth.
yeah, I'm sure they're shaking in their boots over there about the potential of me starring Davante Adams. All right, let's talk about another what I think should be a high-scoring game. Los Angeles Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs. This has the potential, I think, to be a game that's in the 30s. What do you make of this game in general? Danny, let's start with you this time, and then we'll go to Ben.
Again, I don't have a lot of players in this game. Kelce was a great pick out of this last week, as well as Hunt. Hunt's no surprise anymore. DraftKings has definitely reflected that in their price, as FanDuel as well. I think he's up to 8,300 in DraftKings pricing. I don't know what he is in FanDuel off the top of my head. But, you know, is he going to have another great game? Ben and I have discussed this in depth this week, and I'm saying yes. Is he going to have a good game? Absolutely. Is he going to have a good enough game to be worth his high price target now at 83? I don't think so. For him to be able to be worth that value, he has to be pushing 30 points. Is he capable of getting 28 or more points? Absolutely. Do I think he gets that this week? I think he's probably 26, 27. And at that, he is not worth 8,300 unless all the other running backs do 15 points, which I don't see happening either. I'll let Ben talk a little bit more because he likes players in this game, or at least one. I am staying away from this game completely.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. This is kind of the opposite effect of the salaries coming out at that certain time. You saw the what happened with Adams, but this one is solely based on that Thursday night, and his salary went through the roof. So is he worth that? I mean, here's the thing. You know, as Danny stated, we talked about this on I think Monday when the salaries came out, and we said, man, there's no way he can't be worth it. He can't be worth it. That's crazy. He's going to have to score 30 points to be worth 8,300 in DraftKings. And, man, I don't want to play him. I don't want to play him. And then just going through all my research and going, looking through all the stats and history and everything, and I called him, I think it was yesterday, and I said, Danny, I hate it. I don't want to play him, but I've got to put him up on the board because how it's going to be, you know, I was at that game against the Eagles and the Chiefs kind of came down to earth. And again, the Eagles have a pretty good defense. So we don't really know yet, again, out of two games of the Chiefs, you know, what kind of team they are. But I sort of saw a different script and what they looked like against the Eagles. And I think this is a running game and especially a running team that's going to go out there to LA and play the Chargers. And, I don't see it high scoring either. And, you know, if it wasn't for that late fourth quarter touchdown, 1 yard or 2 yard run, and that one he broke for 50 or 60 yards, man, Hunt wouldn't have had anything last game. So, but the issue is that's what I see out of their offense. Hill, I knew, couldn't keep up a production of, if he did last year with his rookie year. No one can ever do that with sophomore year. I mean, you kind of see it with Dak and Zeke throughout the first two games. But I tried to stay away from Hunt, and he still ended up on the board. So, but that's the only guy I'm playing. And, with that salary, it's going to be tough to slot in a lot of lineups, but I'm definitely going to have him in a few of them.
Interesting. So you don't think that's going to be a high-scoring game? Jeff, let's get you in here to break the tie. What are your thoughts on this game as far as – is he going to be high scoring, low scoring? I mean, we're talking about Kansas City, who's given up 20 or more points each of the first 2 weeks. The Chargers have given up 19 or more points each of the first 2 weeks. I feel like this, and it's weird because I don't know who to pick for daily. I agree. There's not too many players that I like in this matchup. I just think there's going to be a lot of scoring. I don't know where it's going to come from. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I would definitely, one of the few matchups that I thought would be a little bit higher scoring. I do know it is interdivision, but it's not one of those divisions where you go to someone's home field advantage like Kansas City and they play this type of defense to really kind of slow down the game. I mean, the Chargers couldn't even sell out the StubHub center last week of like 27,000 people. So I don't think there's really any type of home field advantage. I think that maybe because they are in the same division, it'll start off a little slow, but with the amount of big play opportunity that Kansas City has with Hill and Hunt, it'll open up a little bit. The thing with Hunt, I guess to maybe Ben's point is, and we were kind of looking at this last week, Seth, when we were talking Sunday morning, is he just touches the ball too many times to try and not put him in your lineup, I guess. So, but obviously his price is dramatically different every single week because of the points he's putting up. And then to San Diego's, to your, both of your guys' point, I guess, I don't know where it's going to come from. And that's the toughest part with San Diego, right?
It's so hard to not say San Diego. I say it every single time I talk about the Chargers. It's impossible to say Los Angeles. I refuse to do it. Okay, so we covered that game. Now, Seattle, Tennessee. This is an interesting one for me. So Seattle has been very unimpressive through the first 2 weeks. Russell Wilson, one of the most disappointing quarterbacks in fantasy, only one touchdown pass through two games. He's failed to top 200 yards in either of the games so far against relatively easy competition in Green Bay, even though they play Seattle well, and then at home against San Francisco, right? I think a lot of people were expecting him to have a big game there. What are your thoughts on this game? I'm feeling a Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin stack, and Russell Wilson has to have his coming out party one of these weeks, right? Let's start with you, Ben. What are your thoughts on that, and then we'll go to Danny.
Yeah, this game's gross. I don't like it. I don't like either team.
I'm just like striking out here.
I mean, you're right. They do have to have their coming out party, I think. Again, I love a lot of guys for Tennessee. You know, I love Delanie Walker. I love Matthews. You know, they're always sneaky good plays for me, and their salary's never all that high. And but this game is just it's frustrating me. You know, it's not one that I could look at and say, man, this is going to be high-powered, high-scoring game. They're going to air it out. Man, both quarterbacks are going to rush for three touchdowns combined because, you know, they love to run those little bootlegs around the goal line. And I've tried to grab some guys, and everything steered me away. So I don't have a single person in this game.
I do have one player in this game, and I thought that was pretty neat how Walker scored on a jet sweep. See a tight end do that. That was pretty legit.
I have DeMarco Murray, so I didn't think that was too neat.
Oh well, Murray. Well, you're not gonna like the player I have in this game if you have Murray. So you know, how is Murray? You know, that's the question. How's his hamstring? It's been lingering. You know, all reports say since August. Is he going to be able to go full bore this week and play a full game? I am doubtful that that's going to happen. Will he start? He could. But I like Henry. I mean, Henry came in. I think he averaged 6.6 yards a rush on 14 carries, almost 100 yards, had a touchdown. He looked like an absolute beast. Seattle, well, there's no Wilson Baldwin stack for me this week. They need to show something to me before I go back. But Henry is going to be a play that I make. He's super cheap and looked really, really good. Now, let me clarify. He's going to be in more lineups if for some reason Murray is ruled out. So he's going to be in probably 10 or 15% of my lineups. If Murray plays, if he is out, that percentage is going to go up.
Jeff, if Wilson and Baldwin blow up on Sunday, can we roll back the audio clip of me saying this should be a Russell Wilson Baldwin stack this week?
It's not going to happen. I agree. I mean, as much as I want that to happen,
I'm taking a beating right now.
He couldn't even entertain you and say absolutely. No, he just said no. That's not going to happen.
It's just not.
What a partner.
I think we've identified though something with Danny. Danny likes to go after these backup running backs. I mean, is this like an ongoing thing? He had Jaquizzi last week. He had Buck Allen. He's now got Derrick Henry. I might be missing someone too, but you like the backup running backs, Danny.
I like value. I like value. And this week I'm going to go after some more marquee players, which is going to cost more, obviously. You know, if you go after a Hunt or a Jahi or a Bell or Brown or Julio or something like that, you have to find that value somewhere. And this week I'm putting my money on Henry.
I
really like Henry.
Henry's sneaky, especially. I think it's not looking good for DeMarco Murray. They're saying they think he can play, but they'll have to see how he does later in the week. Derrick Henry looked much better than DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray looked slow this season so far. He's clearly not right. Like the Derrick Henry play for sure. Let's get to this next game, and I'm going to see if I can keep the streak of us disagreeing a lot, you know, keep going here. So I feel like this game is a gross game. Philadelphia, New York, in-division game. I hate these NFC East matchups. It just seems like a gross game. But what are your thoughts on this game in general? Are there any players in particular in this in-division game that you're going to be playing in your lineups? Well, Danny, we'll go with you, then we'll go Ben.
You know, after watching that game on Monday night, I mean, it was a gross. I mean, it's just, gosh, poor Eli. I mean, I don't think he has more than a couple seconds to throw, and then he's on his back. You know, Ingram looked good in that game, got us a touchdown. So yep. I know we're all high on Ingram, but Ingram, I can't play him this week. Season long, I'm going to play him, but in daily fantasy, I'm not. It just, that offensive line, they got to do something about it before they get poor Eli killed. With that said, I'm playing the Philadelphia defense. They look good. If they can get half as many sacks as the Detroit Lions got on Monday night, that'll work for me. So I'm the Philadelphia defense, and then Ertz. He looks solid. I know he kind of got a gimmick play off the helmet catch for, I don't know, I think that went for like 30 yards or something, so that counted for a lot of his production. But the Giants, I don't see them being able to guard him, and so those are my two plays.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. I completely agree with you and what Jeff and everyone said here. Gross game. I don't like it at all. I think it's low scoring, divisional. You know, I think they're playing in Philly, I think it was. And looking back at history, never really high scoring there between those two. I like two players with that said in the game. Are they going to have huge potential? I don't know, but their salaries are what they are. So it's kind of one of those that I'm going to slot both tight ends. Might do double tight with the flex and tight end and quite a lot of lineups. And that's Ingram and Hurts. But again, I'm not high in the game at all. I just think they're going to get their targets. Both QBs love going to their tight ends. And with this kind of ground and pound game and within the trenches, I think they're going to come out higher than a lot of the wideouts, and especially the running backs. And I know, Seth, that you love your Giants man with Vereen there, and you know he couldn't really do much against the Lions, unfortunately, Monday night. But
this is a complete beatdown Ben has given me this episode, Jeff.
Not at all. Again, don't forget, you guys whooped us. You mopped the floor with us,
bringing up the Vereen.
Hey, oh, you know, man. You knew that was going to come out.
Oh, is that yes? That was not my finer. Not
stop,
my finer.
Stop bringing up bad people, Seth, and we won't have to bring it up.
I actually thought going into that game I knew the Lions would stop the run there, so I figured that Vereen would be in there a bit, but still couldn't do much, you know. So for me, the tight ends in this game are the ones that are going to come out.
See, I brought up Ebron last week. He actually got a touchdown, Seth, unlike Shane Vereen.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh man, this that was brutal. I would say, on a side note, I do like the Giants plus six in this game. The Giants are 0-2. To you guys' point, when teams are 0-2, they have their backs against the wall. You know, this is a must win game for the Giants. They've already lost. They're 0-2. So I think this is a game where they at least put together a strong showing. Like you said, it should be a lower scoring game. Loving the plus six, but.
So everyone should bet the opposite.
Exactly. you know, we're going to remember all these bold predictions. You know, me just slinging these hot takes all over the place. All right, Atlanta, Detroit. Jeff, I know this is a game. We've talked about this. This is a game that you like a lot. This is a game I love.
Everyone does.
Yes, exactly. Ben, let's start with you. I know you're a Detroit fan, right? So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this game?
Man, Gola, how about those first place Detroit Lions? Look out now. They look good. You know, they even surprised, for being a lifelong fan, I've seen everything. And I, you know, I even watched every single game of that 0-16 season, and I lost years of my life during that time period. So I'm surprised with the guys. They actually look pretty good. Stafford is making some plays. Again, he played the Giants and the Cardinals, which turned out to be not so good as well. So this game, man, I love every part of it. And it's actually, unfortunately, my homer's coming out, and I love the Lions side of it. My other stack that I, you know, I talked about having two stacks, first one with the Carr, Crabbe, and Cooper. My second stack that I'm playing in every, or a lot of my lineups, I should say, is Stafford, Theo, and Tate. The salary for Stafford is still lower than expected. He can occasionally come up with a big game, and there's one other time throughout this entire year that I'm going to be playing Stafford. I already know the game, but I don't play Stafford all that much because he a lot of times he just doesn't throw for a lot of yards. He'll get his touchdowns, you know, even though they don't run the ball that much. He just doesn't throw for a lot of yardage. But he looks great this year. Again, only two games in. So, and I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think one of the highest of the entire weekend. And, man, they're going to be ready to play, and we know Atlanta is too. So I like Stafford, Theo, and Tate in this game. And then on the flip side, the only guy I like for the Falcons is Julio. He's just going to have his way with that defense. I know that Slay's going to be guarding him, but they're going to find him. He's going to find his room in the defensive backfield, and he's going to have a lot of catches. So, and especially if the Lions go up by two touchdowns, it's going to be a shootout, and they're going to be throwing the ball like crazy. So, I tend to do that in my DFS lineups as well, as where if I have a stack for one team and think it's going to be a high scoring game, I always take a wideout from the opposite team. So, game script, if it goes as planned, that's how it's supposed to work, especially with the number one wideout. Should be a lot of points to grab in that game.
Interesting. I like that strategy. Danny, anything you want to add to that? Any players you're looking at in this game?
You know, well, I was real high on Julio last week, and he had a great stat line. Unfortunately, Freeman, I guess not unfortunate. I mean, we had him in our lineup too, but it seemed like he was just he was getting all the touchdowns. He, you know, they get the ball down to the inside the 10, and then give it to him, and he walk in. I think he should have, what, 40 yards rushing and two touchdowns, something like that. But I am not going to play him in any lineup, so I'm going to go with a different receiver that's, you know, way high up there, and I'll talk about him a little bit more when we get to that game. I do like Tate on the other side. I agree with Ben. I agree with your guys' analysis that this could be a very, very high-scoring game. There could be a lot of points. I'm going with that there's going to be another receiver besides Julio that gets more points. And just as long as he outscores him by a tenth of a point, that's all I'm concerned about for my, you know, for the lineups that we're putting in. So I saw a little bit more value with Brown in the Steelers game than I did with Julio in Atlanta.
What about the one player I thought was, I guess, in terms of looking at salary and value, and I know that we kind of like this game as a whole, but Devontae Freeman, I thought, was a very good kind of chalky cash game play, especially on the DraftKings format with the catches and so forth and how many points Detroit's given up. I guess they haven't given up a ton to running backs, but you know how if Atlanta is going to be ahead or moving the ball, that usually a lot of it drives to their running back. So especially with Slay and everyone else being on their wide receivers, do you like Freeman at the 6,700 price tag in DraftKings?
Yeah. As far as Freeman goes, I haven't liked that. You know, he's a great player and I actually loved him coming out. And I think they had him on, they were doing Hard Knocks for the Falcons the year he came out, and man, he's a phenomenal player, tough as bricks. And he scores a lot of touchdowns, but the only problem is with him, a lot of times his salary is a little bit higher for running backs, and he splits snaps. He's still not, I mean, I know he's the starter and he comes out, but he splits with Coleman every single game.
And for me, I always stay clear of those backfields. The only one of, I shouldn't say always, because I do play Theo because he gets all the catches. And Amir, outside of last game, he never really looks all that great. But you know, that's another topic. So for that backfield, I just don't like it because Coleman gets, you know, just as many snaps, some games even more than Freeman. So it's too hard to judge it and too hard to pick one guy or the other. So that's why I never play those guys.
He's definitely lower in the season in terms of snaps being played. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. I mean, I was just looking at it right now. He had 66% of the snaps on Sunday night, and I guess I was really off on my yardage. He did 19 rushes for 84 yards. So that's probably about the time I turned off the game and said, you know what, Nelson's not coming back in. Let's watch some Netflix. So anyways, Coleman was in 40% of them. So they, you know, they had him a couple times tandem up together. But I think to play Julio in this game, if anybody's going to play anybody from Atlanta, he's due to have a really big game, and this could be the one.
We got time for a couple more games here. I want to get to the Carolina Panthers against the NFL's worst defense in the New Orleans Saints. I'll toss this question up to both of you. Ben, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts overall on this game, number one? Number two, I really like Kelvin Benjamin this week against the Saints. The Saints have the worst defense in the NFL. There's no Greg Olsen. He's going to be out for a long time. So more targets up for grabs. I see Kelvin Benjamin making some big plays, having a coming out party this weekend, getting into the end zone at least once. What are your thoughts on Kelvin Benjamin as a solid play in daily? And then just give me your kind of your overall outlook on this game. And then we'll go to you after.
Yeah, for me, this game, history shows, especially these two teams going against each other. They score the points in New Orleans. They don't usually score the points at old Bank of America Stadium there. It's a little bit lower scoring. And I think there's something not right with Cam quite yet. And I'm a huge Cam fan, especially this offense. There's something going on, and I can't really figure it out. And until, you know, he kind of shows that Cam is Cam and does his running, and his accuracy has been, oh my gosh, I don't know if you watched him these first two games. He doesn't look good. Something's wrong. You know, that being said, I still like a couple guys based on salary. Kelvin Benjamin isn't one of them, unfortunately. But I'm going McCaffrey because he's still getting his touches. Obviously, they have packages, offensive packages solely for him, and he's catching the balls like crazy. So again, you know, I love the pass catching back. So McCaffrey and then Funchess. I think he's got a lot of those. Seven and ins, 10 yard curls, and gets more of the looks. And, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, again, with Olsen out, I think Benjamin's snaps go up a little bit, but he's, for a number one wide receiver, he's not in all the snaps, not even close. And it's kind of worrisome. So I'm staying clear of Benjamin. And then on the flip side, Ginn Jr., I think he, going back to Carolina's, will grab some attention and probably score a touchdown with you know, something like seven catches, 60-70 yards. So good plays, really just value plays here. I like them solely for that. McCaffrey's salary went up a little bit higher, so he's tough and he hasn't scored yet, I think, this season. So that's what I'm going with for this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ben. The only thing that I'd preface this with is, when Ben shares about the pass catching running backs, they are awesome in DraftKings. Be a little bit leery of them in FanDuel. FanDuel, you want more of your Gillislee types, your touchdown scorers, due to the different scoring systems that the different companies have. So that's the only thing I'd say. Ginn, I like Ginn. I think he could have a good game. The Funchess play could be something that sneaks up in there. But again, to Ben's point of view, Cam doesn't seem like he's Cam, and there's nobody that likes Cam more than Ben. He's the one that got him into the championship, or down to the final 10. He rode Cam. So I'm going to defer to his expertise on that. And if he tells me Cam isn't right, I'm not going to play him.
Okay. And then there's a couple. So I want to get to one more game. So there's the Houston-New England game. There's the Pittsburgh-Chicago game. Danny, I know you like Antonio Brown a lot in that game. So if there's a player that I left out, definitely let me know. But the one game that I wanted to hit on is the New York-Miami game. Now, not the sexiest matchup. In-division game. But the reason I want to bring this game up is there's a lot of players that I like a lot. Like, I love Jarvis Landry. Jeff, I know you like Devontae Parker. We were talking about it earlier. Yep. Maybe that's more so for FanDuel. But I also like Jay Ajayi, even for DraftKings. I mean, he's getting over 25 carries. He's going to get the rock a lot against a team that gave up a ton of rushing yards to Oakland. So I like Jay Ajayi. I like Jarvis Landry. I like Jay Cutler. There's a lot of, I think, solid plays in here. Where am I going wrong with this? Are you guys, do you think I'm on the right track here, or do you disagree? Danny, we'll start with you and then go Ben.
Yeah, this is a very interesting game. I mean, you mentioned that it's an interdivisional rivalry, you know, that goes back however many years. You know, they come down, they play each other back and forth, and they usually play each other pretty tough. With all that shared, I do like Ajayi. I talked with Ben and back and forth, and when we're looking at putting together this FanDuel lineup, and I'll share with you guys, he is in the FanDuel lineup, and I just don't see how you do not play him in FanDuel or even season long. I mean, you have to. I mean, he could very easily go 19, 20 carries for 170 yards with two touchdowns. I mean, the Jets just looked horrible. I do like Ajayi, and I like him a lot. Obviously, that knee concerns me a little bit, so I'll be definitely watching that and see if he gets off the questionable list. I'm sure he's going to be fine. He was on the injury report last week, and he was just fine for week two. As far as Landry and Cutler and some of those other plays go, Landry had a good game last game. I'm going to stay away from him and just hope that they just run Ajayi right down the Jets' defense's throat, and he gets, 25 or 30 touches, with a few passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, great analysis, Danny. To backtrack a little bit, did I hear you say that you like Jay Cutler? Did that come out of
I'm gonna this is also coming from the guy who said that I like Shane Vereen, so I'm gonna stand by it. I do like Jay Cutler in this game. It's the Jets too. I mean, I don't think in a vacuum I don't like Jay Cutler, but when he plays the Jets, I think Jay Cutler is, I think anybody playing the Jets is solid, and Jay Cutler's a gunslinger. Don't like him in real life, but I think he's solid. I mean, I know in FanDuel he's 7,400, so I'm doubling, I'm tripling down on Jay Cutler.
So to be clear, you hate him as a person, but love his football ability this week.
Absolutely. I hate him as a human being, but when he plays the Jets, I love him.
With you. So, I could be completely wrong about this game, but I looked at this game and thought, this one isn't going to garnish a lot of attention in DFS. I think a lot of people stay clear. But the more I look at it and talk to people, maybe it is. And I saw all these guys in this game, and I see this, I'm going way out on a limb, but I see this as the highest scoring game of the entire weekend. I don't like it as a stack with the quarterbacks. I hate the quarterbacks. But I think it's funny to say hating quarterbacks and still think it's going to be highest scoring. But I do. I think it's going to be the highest scoring game of the entire weekend. And I love Ajayi. I love Landry. Cutler, holy moly, that's his favorite guy. Kind of reminds me of back in the Chicago days with was it Marshall there? And he loves it. He's gonna throw it to him, 10 to 15 times a game, and he's going to get his catches. And then on the Jets side, handful of guys, Kearse and Anderson. I think both of them, they're going to probably combine for around 18 catches and a few touchdowns. And then Jenkins making his debut. I think there's just with the defenses as poor as they are, and the history of this game with these two teams in the division, the last 5 or 6 years, I think it's gone over, and it's gone over by a long shot. So I think it's one of those that people don't like it. They don't want to watch it. But at the end of the week, you're going to say, holy moly, man, this game was, you know, 42-38 kind of game. So I do like this game. I like it a lot. It's just trying to fit these guys in a smattering of lineups. I think they're guys that fall into flex plays a lot. And outside of Ajayi and Landry, the guys on the Jets, their salaries are really low. So real sneaky value players here. So I do love this game a lot.
And Landry obviously must be only a DraftKings play only, because obviously the PPR factor. Did you know his average depth of target, Jarvis Landry, last week was 2.3 yards? I mean, how ridiculously low is that?
I love it. I own him in season long. So watching that game, like Ben was saying, it reminded me so much of the Brandon Marshall connection with Jay Cutler. So love it. Not great to watch in real life, but for fantasy, just keep giving me those points for receptions.
I don't know if he can keep it up at 2.3 yards a target. He's going to need such ridiculous high volume that he better start moving down the field a little bit more.
Well, I think that's kind of what they look for out of him. He's that guy that is the yak. You know, he wants to. They're saying, hey, let's just get it in his hands and get him out in space, you know, and get him running. So I think that'll come around. Again, they've only had one game under their belt, and they're playing the Jets. So we'll see what really happens this weekend. And look out, man. It's going to be a barn burner.
All right. And is there any other players that we haven't touched on that you guys want to bring up or mention?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I spoke about Brown earlier. I like Antonio. I know that they have a matchup with the Bears that they could get up real big and just run the ball. You don't really know how that's going to play out. I thought that's what Oakland was going to do last week, and they continued to run up the score. So, but I built a stack around it. And, you know, we talked about floating Bell and Johnson in week one and then Bell last week. Well, Bell is going to get his due, and I think it starts this week. And so I'm playing a Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown stack, and I see them just absolutely destroying the Bears and getting that Pittsburgh swag back and running the score up on them a little bit. I do need Chicago to put a few points up on the board, so they keep the gas pedal down to the floorboard. So hopefully they can manage somehow, some way. Maybe it's Conan to get, you know, 17 points or so. And, you know, I see the Steelers around 31, 34 points somewhere in that neck of the woods. Also, I have this other stack that may create a lot of laughter, considering this quarterback I don't even believe has a touchdown this year. The tight end, I don't think, is going to come as a huge surprise. I think he's number six in the league right now, according to DraftKings point totals after the first 2 weeks. But I'm going with the Brissett-Doyle stack. To Ben's point earlier, when he was talking about his Jacksonville pick with Bortles and Hearns and Lee, how Bortles was under what some of the other second string quarterback's pricing was. Well, that's how Brissett is. I mean, he is a second string, but he's getting more time. I think he scores a couple touchdowns, and hopefully both of them to Doyle, and that make that stack really good. I believe he's $4,800 in DraftKings, and he's just a flyer to throw in there in one or two lineups, and if he hits, it's going to take you to the pay window. If he doesn't, well, you guys can all make fun of me next week for that. So those are my other picks that hadn't been mentioned, and I'll turn it over to Ben.
Yeah, don't worry, Danny. We'll definitely make fun of you. I mean, when
that might be my new favorite.
We're happy to.
That might be my new favorite term, though. Take it to the pay window.
Take it to the bank, the teller. So, yeah, I don't know how Danny's gonna have any salary left to slot any players with that stack, but I'm with him on one of those. I still don't see it with Bell. I can't find it yet, and I'm still fading him this week. But I do love, and more so I think it's on Antonio's side, because I think Brown is going to have a massive game again, something similar to Cleveland in week one. And he's going to take a lot away from Bell, I think, in that game. And I don't see this. I don't see Pittsburgh flying up real fast and quick. That's going to get a lot of touches for Bell down the stretch. So I love Antonio in this one, but Bell, I'm not playing for that game. But just your for me, week three, a couple we haven't touched on are your guys that I've had for the first 2 weeks as well. You know, they're just steady Eddies for me. Cohen, I still like, especially with Howard, is an absolute disaster in Chicago, and Cohen's going to get his touches, and again, out of the backfield like crazy. So I like Cohen in that game. Quickly, I like Dalvin Cook as well. Again, he's the number one, true number one, and is in there for almost every play in Minnesota there. So I love Dalvin Cook. And then the Patriots game against Houston, I think, you know, history has also showed in this game that when those two teams play each other, and they've played each other quite a bit in the last couple of years, it's kind of a gross game, and Houston just, or excuse me, New England just beats up on them. Not in a sense of a, you know, scoring 50 points, but it'll be like a 27-3 or 24-0 kind of game. They just beat them up and run the ball down their throats. So this is another one of those 50-50s for me. As I had earlier with Pryor and Crowder, I have White and Gillisley in my notes as question marks. It's going to be another one of those game time decisions for me. I'm not sure which side I'm going to go. I'm leaning, it's weird because I love me some James White, but I'm leaning a little more towards Gillisley. But again, that's going to be a game time decision for me. But I love one of those guys. I just can't figure out who it's going to be. It'll probably be Deion Lewis, and I'll hate everybody. So, I love one of those guys in that game. So, but yeah, those are the extras. And, you know, just to be clear on, I have a kind of a longer list. Danny's pretty short for this week, but I've got quite a lot of players, and I love a lot of guys in different games. That doesn't mean we're going to have every single guy up on our board, because Danny and I like to really agree on who's going to get up there and who we recommend to play. A couple of these guys that I've, you know, said towards the end are flyers or, you know, kind of deep sleepers that I'm going to be playing in my lineups, but might not necessarily make the DKL board.
Okay. And I think those are some good ones there, especially being New England fans. We tend to have a pretty good pulse, and I think that you're spot on with the running backs. I mean, it's like you like both running backs, and I think one half could be James White, one half could be Gillisley. At least Bill has been semi-consistent with the Deion Lewis scenario, and that is he's really not getting touched the ball unless everyone in front of him is not available. So at least he's been semi-consistent there.
Yeah, that's a shame. They need to just let him fly, get to another team, because he's an amazing talent, and it's just it's being wasted there. And even more so when he was injured, and White was, you know, running that offense, he came back and jumped right into the starting role. What was this, last year or 2 years ago, maybe? So I'm still so confused on what Belichick's doing, but. You know, that's why Bill is Bill, so we're not ones to figure out what the heck he's going to do.
Very right. All right, so now before we kind of keep moving on here through all the players, we've got a few listener questions. You guys wanted us to reach out, and we got some good DFS questions to bounce off of the pros, bounce off of DK Legends. So we went ahead and went out to the Talking Heads Nation, and we got a couple questions here for you guys. We've got three. We'll quickly run through three of these here, and I'll just ask them to one person specifically. And we'll kick it off here with a question from Matthew Basford from Atlanta. And he asks, is there a formula to assigning money to each position that you guys have kind of found to be somewhat successful, similar to like using a percentage of your budget towards each position? Whoever would like to, well, Danny, what are your thoughts on that question?
Hi, Matt. That's a really good question. You know, I've seen a lot of different formulas. I've talked to a lot of different pros that some of them utilize these type of formulas. Me personally, I do not. What I do is I look for my stack. I build that initially, and if that means that 60% of my money is going toward running backs, well, then that's how it is that particular week, or maybe it's toward running or wide receivers or so on and so forth. So I've seen them. I don't know how well that they work. I believe that they work a little bit better in other sports like basketball. I've heard a lot of people employ them, but for me, for football, I do not use it.
All right, and I'm going to do the next question to you, Ben. This comes in from Jake from Toledo, and he asks, how do you draft your positions when you're trying to fill up your team, such as going through each position, drafting them? Do you draft, the quarterback and then say one of the running backs, one of the wide receivers, maybe skip the flex and fill in the defense, and you go back and try and fill in the positional players? Or do you put in your fire players first and then fill in the rest? In terms of putting the players actually on your team, how do you go about filling that out?
Yeah, another great question. For me and my strategy, what I do is I start with my stack. I start with the stack who I'm going to play, whether it's a quarterback, running back, and wideout, quarterback, two wideouts, or a quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, or maybe even double tight. I always start with the stack, and then most of the time, it's not always, but most of the time, if I really like the game, I throw a high powered wide out on the other side. Again, we're talking about GPPs here. Cash games a little bit different, but the big tournament plays, I'll throw a high powered wide out on the other side, because I think it's going to be a high scoring game. As we stated earlier, for example, the Lions game, I'll throw my stack in of Stafford, Theo, and Tate, and then I'll throw Julio in on the other side. And then depending on salary, I'll go down through my big board and put players in accordingly through that. And, a lot of times people leave that flex thing at the end, and will put a good strategy or good rule of thumb is to put in guys that are late as possible, even the afternoon or the night game, so you can always switch it out if need be. So I'll usually leave the stack at the end, or excuse me, the flex in the end. And I'm not afraid to roll double tight ends too. If the salary's there, at that point I let the salary dictate who I'm going to grab off my big board. And for me, again, personally, defenses, it's like me picking a kicker in drafts for season long. I'm signed out. So most of the time it's whatever salary's got I've got left. And if it's the last team that's at $2,000 in DraftKings, it is what it is. Unless I really, really love a defense. Good example was at week one when I love the Ravens and I love the Rams. So I actually saved a few dollars left to play those guys. But that's how I build my lineups.
Okay, great. Back to you, Danny. We have one here from Kyle Schmalzer. Seth, I'm sure I screwed that up. But he's from Milwaukee, and he asks, is there an advantage with smaller or larger contests that has identical rules? So you have a $10 single entry double up, but one of them has 56 entries versus 340 entries.
Hi, Kyle. Another good question. When I'm looking at double ups, I like to be in the double ups that have the more people in them. And the reason is I'm not so much worried about the single entry double ups. Now, if I'm in a cash game or a GPP and there's a single entry, yes, definitely there's an advantage there. For a double up, all I'm trying to be is just a little bit over that halfway point. It doesn't help out to be in first place or second or third. And so the more people that are in that particular contest, the more of an opportunity that I have to place. So you have 50,000 people in it. It's not so much that you're playing against all 50,000. The way I look at it is my lineup more apt to finish in the, say, upper percentile above the pay line than it would be, say, in a contest with 50 people where, say, 25 of them could get lucky and have just awesome killer lineups. To me, I know 25,000 people aren't going to get lucky, or whatever it is, 5,000 people aren't going to get lucky. If there's 25 or 30 or even a couple hundred that get lucky and have those awesome lineups, well, so what? They get one through 100 on the on the double up, and I still get my payout at, say, you know, 500 or 1,000 or whatever it is. So that's the rule of thumb that I use. Again, single entry is awesome for GPP. It keeps the pros out of it. I would highly recommend it. Get in those $10 ones, you know, and you can probably win 5,000 bucks or something like that for first place.
All right, and Ben, last question, and this is actually something that I wanted to ask you guys because last week I actually ended up winning a one of these satellite tickets to a mega qualifier in the FanDuel fan championship thing, and I started researching what I actually won because I barely even knew what it was, and so I kind of want a breakdown of, you know, should you even be entering a satellite, because then you have to go enter a qualifier, then you have to win the qualifier before you get into the championship, and if so, which satellites and or qualifiers should you try and focus on if there are specific ones that are better than others?
Say, you know, what would be good is I can speak on behalf of DraftKings and he can add to it, and then he's the expert. Danny's the expert on FanDuel.
Yeah, just in terms of salaries and qualifiers in general. I just happened to play and win one on FanDuel. So
yeah, congratulations, man. That's awesome. It's always fun, obviously, to place first. Even in our four man contest, I want first every week. So, congratulations to that. Yeah, that's a good one. And you know what, we don't ever really get that question all that much because a lot of times it's really dictated by the capital that each player is going to play each week. So it's tough to recommend one contest or another. What we really do is obviously recommend the certain slates to play and obviously stay away from prime times and get as many games in as you can. But as DraftKings goes, for me personally, I don't ever play satellites. The only thing I play is cash games, GPPs, guaranteed prize pools, and qualifiers. I don't ever really enter the satellites. It's just too hard to come out of it in a decent way. And I feel like on those things, I compare it to going to play the lottery. Again, the qualifiers are a lot of time. It's the same thing, but I don't want an extra step to get in the way of whatever it is. So I'd rather play my my funds or my capital, whatever it may be, on specific contests that get you right to it. But even still, the King of the Beach, in a sense, is still a satellite because there's two rounds before you get to the championship for DraftKings down in Florida this year. So the first round, you obviously have to win it. And then the second round, you have to get in the top 50 to actually get the trip. So in a sense, it's a satellite in its own right. But the World Championships, that's you win and you get that ticket. So me personally, I stay away from satellites.
And that makes sense. I'm, you know, and this is actually probably a good lesson to everyone who's playing who haven't learned that. I had to learn that. I'm like, gee, I didn't even win an entry into something to actually win something. I just won an entry into another dang qualifier. So.
Hey guys, can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, before you went on down the road, there is a big difference between DraftKings and FanDuel in this respect. The satellites in DraftKings, I agree with Ben. I don't play any of them. The only one that I do play is the Thunderdome ones to win a ticket to the Thunderdome. Because you can go get in a $33 satellite or a $100 satellite or a $490 satellite, and if you win first place, you get a $5,300 ticket to a Thunderdome. Well, to me, that's worth the investment to get that Thunderdome ticket. Well, on the FanDuel side, it's completely different. You can get in a $7 qualifier and only have 15 players in it, which you have a very good chance of winning. Obviously, 1 in 15. And then, you know, you can win it, you know, whatever the ticket amount is, maybe it's $30, and that could potentially get you there. So in that aspect in FanDuel, the contests are a lot smaller and the reward is much greater when you win that satellite ticket. So I do play those and I play them, pretty frequently. I mean, if you guys looked at my lineup, when this FanDuel lineup, I give out cashes, you'll see that it has like 30 entries to it. Well, I probably won't go anything over 3:33, or I don't know, I made to go the 5:30 with the, in it, in the lineup, but I'll have multiple entries and there'll be a ton of qualifiers in them, because in FanDuel there's a lot of opportunity to and better odds to make it worth the while.
Okay, well that was yeah, that's a great breakdown, because that's, they are a lot smaller, and so that is a good something to point out. All right, well, that's our listener questions. Thanks for breaking that down, guys. Now let's go ahead and get to your fire players and the FanDuel lineup. Ben, do you want to recap? I know we went through a lot of players here. You want to recap your fire, the DK Legends fire players for the weekend?
Yeah, you know what? So we'll start with Antonio Brown. And on the flip side of that, we've got Cohen. Tariq Cohen for the Bears, and then Dalvin Cook, and then the tight ends in the Giants Eagles game with Ingram and Ertz. We've got McCaffrey for the Panthers, Kareem Hunt, Jay Ajayi, Landry, and then obviously a smattering of Jets players. Again, a lot of the guys I'm not really saying because they're not on our big board, but I'm definitely going to have in a few lineups. So, and then our stacks, or excuse me, the stacks that I've had, I have are Derek Carr with Crabtree and Cooper, and then Stafford with Theo and Tate, and then Julio Jones on the flip side of that. Like Ginn Jr. with going back to Carolina, and then Funchess there as well. Pick your guy at running back for the Patriots. It'll be one of them, again, a game time decision. And then one of the wideouts for the Redskins I'm going to be playing as well, but just don't quite know yet. And then the other stack that Danny had mentioned is something I forgot, probably because it wasn't that good. So Danny could probably fill us in.
the Big Ben Steelers stack.
Well, that's the one we all know. I'm talking about the crazy one with
Brissett.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get out. Brissett with who the heck even knows? Go for it,
Jack
Danny.
Doyle. Come on now, Cleveland can't cover tight ends, right? Right, Danny.
Yeah, geez, I cannot believe you're already are harping on my stack. Gosh, dang, that is going to be the most awesome stack ever, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, that you're going to have to eat crow next week, and I can't wait for you to share to the nation on how awesome my Brissett Doyle stack was. I'm really looking forward to this.
I love it.
O'Doyle always rules.
two quick questions on some of the players you mentioned, just to help clarify if you're playing them on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Landry and Tate and Theo Riddick, are you still playing those in FanDuel just because of the scoring differences?
Tate, yes. Landry and Theo, no.
Okay. Alrighty. So everyone has the fire players from DK Legends. Now let's kick it to Danny for the FanDuel Week 3 lineup. I don't really care. All I really want is just money.
All right, guys and gals, I hope you're all ready and excited for this lineup. You know, as I shared in the first part of the broadcast, I was super stoked with the way that the lineup was going through the morning games and even into the afternoon games. And I just knew that evening game on Sunday was going to be nothing but just celebration. Well, lo and behold, Jordy got hurt and everything else changed. But that was last week, and moving forward to this week, we're going to have even a better lineup. And we're going to go into the Sunday night game, sitting way up there in the top of our leaderboards, and just watch everybody else just drop around us and stay there. So I am going to start off with our stack that we're going to be playing, and that's going to be a Big Ben, a Bell, and Brown stack. And I believe Ben asked, gosh, how on earth is Danny going to fit any players around those three guys? Well, let me share it to you, Ben, and the rest of you guys, how this is going to happen. We're going to go with Ajayi in the other running back spot. I think he's gonna just absolutely wreck shop on the Jets and hopefully get in the end zone a couple times and scamper for somewhere above 150 is is my prediction. The next one we're going to have to watch carefully. It's Allison with Green Bay. If Nelson is out, he's a play, as we shared earlier. If Nelson is not is a play, if he's going to go, then I'll share a little bit later how what adjustments we need to make on that so you can get a different player in there. The next wide receiver we're going to go with is Golden Tate. Again, we went over this game in depth. I believe it's going to be high scoring. Hopefully Marvin Jones doesn't steal any touches from or touchdowns from Tate. I think he's due. Hopefully he gets in there a couple times. And then the tight end, we're going to go a little bit under the radar. I don't think he's a whole lot under the radar, but we're going to go with Doyle. Defense, you know, this is one of these just kind of shot in the darks because we don't have a lot of money left over to go get one of those top-notch defenses. So in this particular lineup, I'm going to go with Tennessee. Titans against Seattle, I wasn't impressed with Seattle the first 2 weeks, and so hopefully they keep up their poor, almost pathetic offensive performances, and we can get a good defense. Kicker, this kicker that I chose has really struggled. So if he has a job on Sunday, I think he redeems himself. And I'm going with the Chargers kicker, Koo. And again, pay attention to it because who knows, they may maybe be replacing him before Sunday. So, you know, feel free to interchange the kickers and the defense as you see fit. If Nelson plays, pull Allison. And the way I would work that is to take Ajayi and downgrade to McCaffrey, and put a different receiver in, something like a Crowder, or let me see, I'm trying to draw a blank right now, but even a Cooper or Crabtree should be able to fit in there as well. So that's what our Ted Ginn Jr. might be a good play too. So that's what we have. Good luck on the FanDuel lineup, and I hope to see you guys at the top of the leaderboard.
All right, everyone heard it here first. Again, their Week 3 FanDuel lineup is Big Ben, Bell, Ajayi, Antonio Brown, Geronimo Allison, Golden Tate, Jack Doyle, the Chargers kicker, and Tennessee's defense. And if Jordan Nelson is going, take out Allison, swap down Ajayi for McCaffrey, and then put in a wide receiver, one of their fire players that they've talked about, plenty of people to fit in there. Again, they are DK legends. We're at week 3 here, guys. You have one more week of, you know, free access to them here on the podcast. Make sure you check them out at their website, dklegends.com. You can use our promo code NFL Talking Heads for 15% off your subscription to keep getting those fire players and keep connecting with Ben and Danny. Thanks again, guys, for joining the show. We're excited for week 3, and of course, we will be back next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.